Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those watching on Rumble, please right now just like and follow. That helps us out a lot. Subscribers, thank you so much for being a part of what we do. Happy New Year to everybody. It's another year. They go so quickly nowadays, it's hard to keep track. I remember when I was a kid thinking of the year 2024 sounded like some futuristic reality. It seems so far away, and yet we're here now. I think 2024 could be one of the most chaotic years of our life. Obviously, I don't know that for sure, but there's so many things that are on the verge of happening, just hanging over the edge of the cliff. And it seems like a lot could take place this year. And yet I know if the other side already knows they have the election in the bag, if they know, no, we have the votes already, we figured out how to use the machines and the fraudulent ballots and things, then they might not purposefully instigate things. It doesn't mean things won't happen. It might mean that there's not going to be black swan events that they need to put forward to keep control of things. But I want to talk about that today just a little bit. Black swan events and how they could use one of those to light the fuse of a civil war. And I'll tell you why I think the black swan and the civil war are both things they would love. They might not be able to pull it off, it might not happen, but I'll tell you some reasons why we need to have our eyes open, be alert, and be prepared in 2024. But thank you so much again for joining me. As you look back over the last 100 years, and we've talked about this before, you see so many of the events that have taken place and what we were taught about them isn't true. It wasn't based on facts. It was a narrative being pushed forward to direct things in the way those in power wanted things to go. And it's really sobering as you look back over that. And because of that, because even today, every single news story that comes out, you're not getting the facts. You're not getting, here's the way it is. Because of that, it's very hard to discern what's really going on a lot of the time, because all the messaging is there to confuse, to control, to propagandize, to redirect, to sidetrack us and everything. And so that's why even doing what we do here at Agenda Weekly is tough, because you don't know for sure all the details of things, but you do know what you're being told is not true. And that gives you the incentive to dig in and find out, okay, here's what they told us. I know that is not true, because they don't speak the truth ever. They just don't. So what could be what really happened? What's the most logical explanation for what's going on right now? And as we did that through COVID and other things over the last several years, amazingly, then as facts finally did come out, and they always eventually do, we realized, wow, we were right on so many things. That it seemed to be this way. We weren't positive, but we thought, I think this is going on, the lab leak or whatever it was. I had a lot of detailed video stuff on that we did. And then we know, yeah, it's exactly what happened. So that's encouraging when you see that. But a lot of us still don't want to face the facts that those in power, our own government, would do black swan events, events that are unexpected, that cause catastrophic damage and change, and are tools they can use to make huge progress in pushing things forward in a short amount of time. And we just think, oh no, that's not going to happen. But the reality is, in the last 100 years, almost every single thing like that was done by our government. And that's pretty sobering as you look at that. We'll go through a few of those, but they know right now that people are waking up. They see that, just like we do, and it's a blessing. They know that so many people now understand they have a 2030 agenda, the Great Reset. And people in general are saying, no, thank you, I don't want that. I'm not interested in completely transforming the way I do everything in my life and losing all my freedoms to save the planet and taking your experimental shots and things like that. And so, but knowing them, knowing evil, knowing Satan, they're not going to give up. They're not going to do anything to lose power if they can help it. And they're not going away. They're not going to disappear. And so because of that, in the fact that COVID awakened millions, the shot awakened millions more, the trans cult today is waking millions more, when we see these people have gone off the deep end in self-destruction. They are suicidal, and they're not content until we all commit suicide with them. As more people see that, I just think they realize we got to do something big. We got to do something really big. We need a massive black swan event to paralyze everyone with fear, to get them to not think rationally and the way they should be, to logically, and so we can force them into our cage that we're preparing for them. And so why a black swan event? Because they are so successful at forcing major change through the fear those events create. Just a quick recap. A lot of the major events over your lifetime or before your lifetime, Pearl Harbor was a black swan event. We knew all about it. Our government knew all about it. We'd already learned how to decipher the Japanese codes. So they allowed it to happen anyway because why? They're always accomplishing something with them. I think they just enjoy people dying, but usually there's also an agenda behind the different things that go on. But our government back then was happy to just allow 3,000 of our boys to be slaughtered because they knew if that doesn't happen, we're not going to be able to get into World War II, and we desperately want to be in World War II. They knew after World War I, the American people were done with war because they had been told World War I is the war to end all wars. It's the last war. There'll never be another one. And after that lie was exposed, they were like, no, we're not going. We don't care what's going on in the world. We're not going to get involved. So they had to have the black swan of Pearl Harbor and allow the Japanese to attack, even though they knew it was coming, but not warn the troops and the people there. The Gulf of Tonkin incident that really escalated the Vietnam War when it was going to fade out and be over with, we know now it didn't happen. It was a black swan, and it was the NSA just told the American people, our ships have been attacked by the North Vietnamese communists, and it was a lie. But then they knew, again, they needed that. They needed the people to be willing to send their boys to die for something. And Henry Kissinger was one of the key players behind that. But we realize now it wasn't to go set the people free in the country of Vietnam. No, it was just to have an endless war, to sidetrack, to make a fortune in the military-industrial complex and everything else. They sacrificed 55,000 of our boys for nothing. That's why I'm telling you, they will do anything. It's not like, oh, you know, they have some moral compass or they have some limit. There's no limit, none. The only question they ever ask is, can we get away with it? And that is it. The JFK assassination, of course, was a black swan event performed by our government. And what it was really is a public execution of someone that wouldn't go along with the deep state. And so every single elected official after that would realize, you got to be careful. You can't say you're going to fracture the CIA into 1,000 pieces or you will be dead. You can't push things that they haven't said are okay to push. And I want you to watch just this video here because it kind of puts together just a couple minutes from the JFK assassination to the Robert F. Kennedy assassination to the John F. Kennedy Jr. murder. And you'll see some of these things. But it's important to see this so you realize the enemy you're up against. Yeah, they do these things. Anyone coming against them, they will eliminate. And so anyway, watch this for a second.
Just a few months after being sworn in as president, John F. Kennedy, RFK Jr.'s uncle, said the following in a speech given before the American Newspaper Publishers Association.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
On November 22, 1963, President Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas. There are hours of damning evidence clearly showing that the CIA, organized crime, and the highest levels of the U.S. federal government were all involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, including the magic bullet, the grassy knoll, and the presence of young CIA asset George H.W. Bush in Dallas that day, a day that he claims he could not remember. But the entire operation was blamed on a single lone gunman. An hour after hearing that his brother was assassinated, Robert Kennedy told his close aide that he was surprised it wasn't him. He thought that he would be the one they would get. Over the next few days, he wrote letters to his children, charging them with the responsibility to love and serve their country and to remember what their Uncle John had started. A few years later, the New York Times published an article claiming that President Kennedy told one of the highest officials in his administration that he wanted to splinter the CIA in 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. On March 16, 1968, Robert Kennedy officially announced he was running for president. On June 5th, following major victories in the primaries, he was gunned down after giving a speech at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, California. Nina Rhodes Hughes was one of a small few who witnessed the assassination, and she claims there was another shooter. She later expressed outrage that the police ignored her statement. The shot that killed Robert Kennedy was fired up close in the back of his head, and the whole operation was blamed on a single lone gunman who was standing in front of him.
But it appears that they concluded within about an hour's time that Saran acted alone, or that was going to be their conclusion, and they thereafter tailored all of the evidence to fit that conclusion.
Regicide is the ritual killing of a king to memorialize a subversion of power. And while the Kennedy family is as greasy as the rest of the swamp, the two brothers stand out like mythical kings. Aside from Dr. Ron Paul, who said we need to get rid of them completely, nobody in government questions the crimes of the CIA. While promoting a book on television in 1978, a young RFK Jr. referred to American politics as a one-party system and his father and uncle's demise as an occupational hazard. In March of 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. had a meeting to plan a run for the 2000 U.S. Senate election against Hillary Clinton. 4 months later, he died in a fatal plane crash with all the telltale signs of a cover-up. Recently declassified documents show that Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged lone gunman in the JFK assassination, was a CIA asset. RFK Jr. is running for president in 2024 and calls out the CIA for the deadly vaccines. He also blames the CIA for the murder of his uncle, which he calls a successful coup d'etat from which our democracy has never recovered. And he believes that his father was assassinated by the security guard who shot him from behind after pushing him into their patsy. Sirhan Sirhan.
One of the interesting things about this case is that Sirhan Sirhan was reportedly in front of Robert Kennedy, and investigators initially said that he was murdered by a gunshot wound that went through the back of him.
You see so many key pieces of the puzzle he had in there. George H.W. Bush Sr. was there in Dallas as a CIA agent, and when he was asked by Oprah in the 1980s, oh, where were you on the day John F. Kennedy got assassinated? He said, I don't remember. I bet you he was involved more than we think he was. But also the John F. Kennedy Jr. I remember when that happened, there was a lot of problems with the story they were giving. But I forgot he was going to run against Hillary Clinton. And you can't do that. And they knew he would have beat her badly and he would eventually have been president. And they must have assumed he's probably like his father or his uncle, and he will not do what we say. We got to get rid of him right now. Very sad. Waco was a black swan event, and they hoped to get the guns with that. They were going to try to make people that were religious, people that were, you know, against big government, to look so evil, but it backfired on him. When Janet Reno burned alive all those children and everything, it didn't have the effect that they had hoped. And so then they did a year later, Oklahoma City. And we know that was done by the FBI because they called all their agents the night before, said, don't come to work tomorrow, with no explanation. But they were willing to slaughter all the children that were at the daycare the next day. They knew when children die, it gets people's attention. And that one was very successful in sidetracking people off all the just immoralities of President Clinton, and again, to try to turn people against the right. And that one was kind of successful. It made a lot of people on the right realize, well, I better just be quiet about my views, that I am patriotic and that I think big government's bad. And so that was successful for them. Of course, the ultimate one probably ever done in history was 9/11. And they knew we've got to have something big, like a Pearl Harbor, if we're ever going to pass this Patriot Act, where we can eliminate the constitutional rights of anyone we label a terrorist. And that was a huge step forward, because on that day we lost all of our constitutional rights based on our classification. And of course, now we know all white male Americans that have a flag outside of their house are terrorists, domestic terrorists. So that was what they were trying to accomplish by the black swan of 9/11. And then we've just lived through a black swan event, COVID. That was a classic black swan event. Acting like it's unexpected, acting like, oh, this just accidentally happened, when they had been making the viruses for a decade and then moving it over there and doing all the things that they did and already coming up with this mRNA vaccine technologies, knowing it would be damaging to the people and pushing it out anyway. And we know all that now because of the declassified papers. Usually it takes 50 years. So by the time you get the facts on an event, everyone's dead that was involved with it. And it's kind of, you could wave the flag then and say, hey, look, look. What I'm telling you is look at history. And you'll see for the last 100 years, our government has been doing every wicked thing possible against the American people to slowly take away our rights and our freedoms. But COVID changed everything. That's what black swans always do too. You take a massive leap forward in a moment of time. And the lockdowns, you know, they knew what was going to happen. It was going to eliminate small business in America, and the rich would become so much richer, which they did. Millions died through medical malpractice. One of the videos we have below this week, you got to watch it. This nurse talking about the unbelievable experiences she had and finally got fired because she wouldn't take the shot, even though she'd already had COVID. But she says probably 99% of everyone that died did not die of COVID. It was medical malpractice. It was the protocol they were given that was killing people that would never have died just of COVID. And she boldly explains that. You got to watch that. It's very powerful. And then share it with others. But that means, I think they say now, 1.2 million people died in America. Well, that means if only 1% of them actually died from COVID, that means it was only 12,000. Which would have been one of the lowest death rates for a flu season in American history. It was all a complete lie. The best estimate now is from the shot, worldwide, 17 million people have died.
COVID-19 mRNA genetic injections have killed
17 million people.
Yep.
Absolutely stunning. Can you please tell us more about the paper?
We calculate the toxicity of the vaccine for all ages, and the number allows us, given the number of doses that have been given worldwide, to conclude that 17 million people would have been killed by this vaccine. And having it by time, like by week or by month, and by age group, means that you can actually see when there's a rollout of a booster, for example, which happens very quickly in time for a given age group, you can actually see immediately following it a maximum in the all-cause mortality. So an excess mortality actual peak that's temporally associated with that rollout. And we see that repeatedly for each rollout.
Consistently across all countries?
All the countries that have sufficient data where you're able to look at it and you have both the vaccine data and the mortality data, this is what we see.
Unbelievable. The United Nations tells us that 80 million plus people died from the lockdowns. That's the United Nations telling us that. Will these people kill people or harm people or make people suffer? You better believe they will. What might be the Black Swan event? Again, I don't know. But it will be something they orchestrate, and I think it will be big, really big. Here's some of the possibilities. Terror attacks. You know, each week the FBI is warning about the likelihood of a terror attack. Well, when you see that, you go, okay, they've let many, many thousands of known terrorists in across our southern border. And so they know it's just a matter of time, and they can help provoke that like they did with the first World Trade Center bombing back in 91, I think it was. They got some Islamic terrorists, and the FBI provided the bomb to them to blow up the World Trade Center, and it kind of fizzled out. But they didn't give them the bomb to trap them. They gave them the bomb so they could blow it up. I mean, it's crazy. You're like, why would you give them the bomb and then not stop them before they put it there? Well, that's the people that are in charge. That's the deep state. Financial collapse is long overdue. They're propping it up right now because they're still making a fortune on the system the way it is. But at any moment, they could have it absolutely just tumble down. And then we're all in deep trouble because when you can't pay your bills, you are in trouble. An EMP strike is an obvious threat. Watch this 1 minute video talking about that.
I spent quite a lot of time on the electromagnetic pulse, working with the governments to try to figure out how we would solve this issue. And I would say that the electromagnetic pulse, which is an EMP, which is basically a nuclear weapon that goes off in the sky, shuts down the entire grid.
The very first strikes are high-altitude EMP attacks, frying electronics and power grids by creating an electromagnetic pulse of tens of thousands of volts per meter. The next strikes target command and control, as well as nuclear launch facilities. Land-based intercontinental ballistic missiles take about half an hour to arrive. Major cities are targeted, both because they contain military facilities and to stymie the enemy's post-war recovery.
I don't personally think they'll do the EMP strike. They might, because I think they want all of our stuff and all of it working. And if all of our technologies were wiped out, I don't know, they would just lose a lot of wealth in that. I think a virus would be much more effective at wiping out the American people than you have everything perfectly there so you can take it over. And China definitely wants to do that. They talk about it all the time. But they also could attack the power grid because the FBI keeps warning about that. They think Trump supporters are going to take out the power grid. And the very fact that it's so vulnerable, they say 100 people organized together could take out the power grid for the United States of America in one day very easily because we don't have a hardened infrastructure. Even though it only costs $4 billion to harden all the infrastructure in America, and they've refused to do that because they want that vulnerability there. So when they need it, all these Trump supporters. cyber attacks. The World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab have talked about that the last year or so, thinking we are long overdue for a major cyber attack that shuts down the computer systems worldwide. Well, so that could be it. Another pandemic, catastrophic contagion 2025. The Bill Gates conference with the World Health Organization said that's coming. So I think that would be a very likely possibility. World War III. Our military-industrial complex and our establishment, Republicans and Democrats, they love war because they can launder so much money during war. No one keeps track of what's going on during war. You just give them all the money they need because we got to win for freedom. And so they know that. And just like the billions, tens of billions of dollars being laundered in the Ukraine right now, that could happen. A food crisis. Our system is so dependent on everything working perfectly all the time that all it takes is something to interrupt that, and then all of a sudden the shelves are empty at the store. And there's endless possibilities, but they have been preparing us through predictive programming to just know something big is going to happen this year. That's why I really think it is too, because it's been over the top of how they just keep pushing this idea. And of course, they're acting like the people that want to make America great again are going to be the most likely culprits of this. But I know many things are in the making right now. But watch this clip. You probably saw it from a week or so ago. But this is really powerful.
Well, mine's a little dark. I just feel a lot of concern that 2024 may be the year of a black swan event. This is a national security event with high impact that's very hard to predict. There are a number of concerns that I have that factor into that. Not only this sort of enduring heightened threat level that we're facing, the wars in Israel, also Ukraine. And we're so divided in this country in ways that we haven't seen before. And I think that just creates fertile ground for our adversaries like North Korea, China, and Iran. And that's what concerns me most.
They do that. So when something happens, you'll say, oh yeah, they warned us this was going to happen. As if somehow they knew a black swan was going to happen. I'm shocked at that, though. That's the mainstream ultra-left news even warning people, so they'll be ready mentally to accept whatever measures are necessary to solve the problem for whatever that event, that black swan event is. We talked about briefly last week that Civil War movie coming out. I showed the trailer and talked about that briefly. I think that is predictive programming. They would love that to happen. They might not be able to stir it up, but they would love if it did happen. The Obamas came out with a movie. You probably saw that too. And in that movie, white people are the enemy.
I'm asking for you to remember that if the world falls apart, trust should not be doled out easily to anyone, especially white people. Even Mom would agree with me on that.
And you see them pushing this narrative. They're trying to get the black people and the minorities in America scared to death of white people. And then they're trying to make white people be on the defensive and be leery of the other side. So there's uncertainty there and confusion. So if you could stir something up, it'll be real quick to get them, boom, engaged in something because they're already fearful of the other side and don't trust them. Why do I think it'll be a civil war? Here's why. As I look at their agenda that I've studied now for many, many years, and I look at all the goals they've had since 1930s forward, they've made great leaps forward in every single area except getting our guns. And as I think through all possible scenarios, that's the only one I could picture them being able to pull off, the door-to-door military search of every home, taking every weapon. If civil war just broke out, even in a few of the big cities and stuff, I could picture them rationalizing to the American people, we've got to get the guns. We don't want everybody to kill each other. People go, yeah, stop the killing, stop the killing. And so it would be the excuse. And I think it's the only thing, too, that would get our military to go along with it. Because they would definitely tell them, we'll give them the guns back. We just right now have to remove them because this thing's going to escalate and 100 million people are going to die. And so they, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's just like when FDR took the gold. Oh, you'll get it back. You'll get it back. We just need it turned in right now. We need it for the war effort and stuff and things that are going on to help the economy, but you'll get it back. And of course, you never do. And you weren't supposed to. It's just a lie. There's no other scenario I can think of where they could ever even attempt the door-to-door seizure of all the weapons in America. I just don't picture, but a civil war, I could picture that very easily if they could really stir it up where 100,000 people had already died or whatever, where they just go and do it. And it's hard to resist because they've got military weapons at your door. But that's why I think they know they have to get the guns before they can ever have total domination. And there's no other scenario I see that would allow them to do that. What are the three primary roads leading to civil war? Here's three things they've been stirring up for a long time, but you can see they're aggressively pushing these things even more forward to create more conflict. So when the black swan event happens, it'll light the fuse of this, hopefully. That's their hope. And this will happen. Number one, I think, is a race war. they're stirring up the conditions for this. And of course, the open borders is a key part of this plan. Watch some of this footage while I explain it. The communists have talked about since the 1930s using the blacks in America to create the conditions for civil war. And with the open borders that you're looking at right there, you see people are pouring in by the millions. They say by January 2025, it'll be at least 14 million during Joe Biden's first term. And so that's a key thing. Another key thing that people don't get is the elites, the white liberals, they hate minorities deep down. The leaders do, especially the blacks. And they know if they could create a civil war, the whites would win because they're the ones with all the arms. They're all the hunters and the people that are into guns and everything. So they know, oh, that will eliminate all of them. They would love that. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. That's the way it is. Their plan for the open border is, of course, to dilute the patriotism, fracture unity, set up conflict. They're teaching the illegals as they come in, be careful of white people. They're very dangerous. I saw some videos on that as well, where they're actually literally training them to think that way. Whites are the enemy. They know if they fan the flames for a racial civil war, then all these illegals that have come in, they don't want to be removed. So they're going to join right in too. It would be an easy group to manipulate, even if you were giving them arms or whatever, to be engaged in this thing. They have nothing to lose. They have a miserable life wherever they came from, and they have a miserable life here, just living on our streets and everything with their little handout each month. I think that this, though, is the only vehicle that would make sense in them going door to door to get the weapons. And maybe that doesn't happen, but open borders, period, just like what's going on in Europe, when you're slowly taken over, there's no possibility of a peaceful future. So they know that even if they can't succeed right now with a black swan or a civil war, they know that open border will be death to America eventually, because you cannot peacefully be united in common cause with people that hate you and aren't like you and don't know anything about you. Hopelessness is one of the key parts of the white liberals' goals for the black community. And watch this clip real quick from Thomas Sowell talking about that. This is key in this first vehicle for setting the groundwork for a civil war.
All the incentives politically are for black leaders to blame all problems in the black community on the larger society. And that enables them to take on the role of being the defender of the black community against enemies, which in turn creates the situation in which many blacks don't feel that anything that they do is going to help themselves unless it's done politically as a group. That there's no point. I mean, why would you, if you believe what they say, why would you want to knock yourself out in the school knowing that the man is not going to let you get anywhere? One of the most pathetic things I heard in recent years was a young black man saying that, you know, at one point he thought he would join the Air Force and become a pilot. And then he says he realized that the white man is not going to let a black man become a pilot. And he was saying this decades after the Tennessee Airmen had established their reputation in combat in Europe, you know. But the hopelessness is one of the big products of the race industry, that you have no chance. I remember giving a talk at Marquette, and at the end of the talk, among the questions that was asked, a young black man got up and he said, "Even though I am graduating from Marquette University, what hope is there for me?" And having gone through college when I was in the 50s, I don't remember any blacks saying that in the 1950s, when there was a lot more obstacles to overcome than there were when this guy is graduating from Marquette. But you have to produce that kind of feeling in order to serve the interests of those in the race industry.
If we had all the high schools and colleges in America that have black students in them have to sit through and watch every single one of Thomas Sowell's videos, our whole country would be different. He's so wise and so clear in communicating truth. It's amazing. But that hopelessness is something they've tried to stir forever. But they were losing their grip on it. during Trump's first term, the black community was just thriving. And the other side saw that and was like, oh no, that's what the 2020 riots were all about, Black Lives Matter and everything. They had to pull the blacks back into that narrative. You can't make it. It's impossible in America because of white privilege and these white people keeping you down. And they realized we got to keep brainwashing them because they're starting to believe, as all the polls showed, no, they can make it in America, which of course they can. And so that's where all that came from. And of course, we were given the predictive programming about those riots months ahead of time. There was TV shows and movies produced showing just students rioting and over black causes and things like that. So it's the way it's always been. And that's why I think this Civil War thing is such a possibility, because they're just so hitting us with that right now. But one other key point on this before I go into the next one about the race war. You probably saw, you know, the Harvard president, plagiarism allegations and everything else. That lady had to step down as the president of Harvard. And as she was doing that, and I was listening to her talk and everything, and I realized she's an idiot, I realized something. This is so important. The white liberals always put forth as a token to continue their racist views blacks that are idiots. They always, if they're going to have a token black in a position, they put one there that's an idiot. She's an idiot. I mean, I can't believe she couldn't get a job at Taco Bell. Intellectually dull, can't even put a sentence together, just pathetic. I mean, but then I realized that's what they always do. The Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons and stuff, they never put forward the Thomas Sowell or the Alan Keyes or the, you know, Ben Carsons or any of those people that would be a great example to the black community. They always put forward, which shows what disdain they have for the black community. They act like, oh, here's the best and brightest of the black community. And they do that. It's a mockery. And it's them showing how powerful they are and how in control they are. And they're laughing at that. They never put the sharp blacks up, the Larry Elders. Or they never put them up. They destroy them. But they put up idiots that will go along with the propaganda that is actually hurting the black community. Sellouts. Like Obama was a sellout. He hates the black community in America. That's why he lives in a white community. But that's, anyway, that's a part of that that always irritates me, because the left is keeping them down purposefully and preparing them to be so enraged at their unfortunate situation that they think it's because white people exist in the world. They would love for there to be a war. Number two, the second road to creating the conditions for civil war is the whole climate health hoax. You know, the whole climate change agenda through the United Nations and the health treaty and stuff through the World Health Organization, which really is the same thing. They're even saying now that, you know, the biggest health crisis we face is climate change. So they're combining those together, climate and health, but they're using those to create regulations to raise the price of energy, which makes people feel hopeless when they can't pay their bills, to cut food production so people will be starving, and when they're starving, they'll do whatever, to tax people's carbon. So the more productive they are, the more they get penalized, and it's harder to make it. They're working to give control to the United Nations on all climate policy worldwide that will all be orchestrated to frustrate the common working man and make his life so miserable he can't make it, which means he's ready to fight for his freedom, and they know that. And they're wanting to give control, as we've talked about on here, to the World Health Organization, where they then can dictate emergencies and responses worldwide. But see, when those things happen, climate and health, and they start using governance to control us, not our representatives, they don't have any control at all. They just do what they're told by the bigger organizations and these globalist outfits and everything. Then the people lose representation. No one's representing them there. And we're already in that stage. We feel that. Well, that builds up frustration. And it is something that is lighting the fuse that is going to at some point cause people to lash out finally in desperation. And they know it. And that's what they're doing in that. And number three, the final way, is they would love to take away the people's ability to air their grievances by having free and fair elections, as we've had the last two, and probably before that as well, obviously. But they know if you take away the only peaceful, civilized way for someone to protest what's going on by going, I'm throwing the bum out, we're getting somebody else in there. They can't do that anymore. That's their only option, an average citizen, a person in their community. There's no other way for them to stop what's going on in Washington, D.C. that is controlling and destroying their lives. So at some point when they realize they don't have that right anymore, okay, I've got to do something. I've got to stand up for my freedoms because they're making me into a slave. But watch this little clip about Hillary.
But we also have to look ahead because you know what? Our opponents certainly are. Right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next presidential election. And they're not making a secret of it.
That's predictive programming. They're telling us their plans, clearly. It's unbelievable how they do this. They think we're all idiots because they've so dumbed the population and they so look down on the common man. They go, oh, he's an idiot. He doesn't get anything. He doesn't know. No, there's 80 million of us plus out here that aren't that dumb and know who they are. They're deceitful liars and they're capable of anything. But you do all the other things to enrage, control, and corner people when the people realize they can't change any of it because the elections are rigged, then at some point it's going to happen. The Civil War will happen because they finally, when you're finally cornered, you know, even a rabbit, if you stick your hand in its hole, a peaceful animal that doesn't attack anything, you stick your hand in its hole to grab it out of there and it will rip your hand up. And they know that. And so that's what they're doing. Because of all the work that God has been doing to wake millions, I feel like we are going to gain some ground back. I really do. I feel like we're going to get a little bit of ground back here as the energies of the awakening troops start to engage and start to do things to make a difference. I think there will be a revival of many people getting saved who have finally realized all the lies, and they'll be looking for the truth. And my prayer is they'll find the truth, who is Jesus. Like the Bible says, look up and behold, the fields are white unto harvest. Pray that he will send laborers into the field. I think we really need to do that and be the laborers ourselves because the fields are white unto harvest. People are looking for answers right now. People are looking for the truth right now. They realize they've been lied to about everything and they want that so desperately. The fertile soil is ready to bear fruit. I think the Lord is going to bless us with one last pushback before we're swallowed up in the evil. I think it's inevitable because we've given our children to them to raise. And when you do that, you have to reap what you have sown. But I think we're just in interesting times right now and good times to have a meaningful life. Shine your light, speak truth, refuse to listen to lies and be in the presence of lies without confronting them and saying, I'm sorry, you're wrong about that. Let me tell you the facts. And we need to be able to do that, sharing truth with our friends, preparing for these scenarios the best we can. God is in control, but he wants us to be wise in knowing, okay, you know, things are going to happen probably this year, most likely. I need to be ready for that and be able to protect my family and those that are innocent and defenseless around me. Our verse for this week is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So it'll be our verse this week and next week. But listen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Make sure you're reading your Bible every day and praying and asking God for clear direction on what you should be doing and the ways he would have you be faithful right where he has put you. I think we need to buckle up our seatbelts and be faithful because 2024 might be a very interesting year to be alive. Appreciate you greatly. And until next week, God bless you.
Welcome to Agenda Weekly. We invite you to join us for an overview of the news from a conservative Christian perspective. You may be familiar with a weekly video podcast from Curtis Bowers, but Agenda Weekly is much more than that. Every Friday, we provide a written summary of the most important news events from America and around the world. We don't just cover the bad news. We find the often overlooked encouraging stories, because we all need some good news. Additional resources include informative videos and articles to dig deeper, a featured hymn of the week, essential prayer points, and specific actions to take personally and in your community. For only $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you can subscribe to receive the most comprehensive news source available. Our goal is to save you time, expose the agenda behind the news, and equip you to make an impact right where you are. Subscribe today at agendaweekly.com.